Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church. For all of you out there on Facebook and on YouTube, we thank you for joining us in Periscope and the other places that are gathering you to this place. And we thank you that you are here to join us as we continue in our Advent season, looking to the hope that is to come in Christ Jesus. And yes, we know he's already come, but he's coming again. Amen. And that is the Advent that we are looking forward to. But today, we are going to be looking into the Word of God, and I'm going to be preaching on the message that I've entitled, The Light of Love in Dark Places. And you all know the scripture that we're taking this out of. It's John 3, 11 through 21. So as you are turning there, please pray with me also. Father God, we thank you for the wonderful word that you give us. We ask, Lord, that you would appropriate it to our hearts, that we would stand under it and understand it, that you would shine that light of Christ that gives us the hope of glory and transforms our light from our lives from darkness to life. Lord, we thank you for the messages that you bring. Use my lips, use my being, use all that I am to bring forth your word. For Lord God is about you and is not about me. This is your word to us from the book of John. In Jesus' name, amen. From John in the third chapter, beginning in the 11th verse, we read these words. Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen, and you do not accept our testimony. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be made manifested as having been wrought in God. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. We all know this scripture. It's one of the most founding scriptures in all of the faith. If I asked any one of you to repeat John 3:16 to me, it's probably one of the only scriptures that all of us would be able to do. Would you agree with that? Because it is foundation. It is the foundation upon which we build. But today, I want to speak to you about light. Today, I want to speak to you about the last portion of this. Because for us, we need to understand that light is a very real and powerful force in our world and in the spiritual world. How important is life? Well, let's see what God has to say about it. If something is important, it should be primary. Amen? Turn to Genesis 1 and 1. You don't get any more primary than Genesis 1 and 1. We are going to read 1 through 5. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, one day. I want us to understand something. When we look at this, I want you to realize, when we read the words, in the beginning, God, we flow right into another statement there, right? In the beginning, God created. Then we put a comma. That's not how the Hebrew reads. If you read Hebrew, it says, in the beginning, God. That is full and complete. Nothing more was needed, ever. He didn't need anything. I want you to understand, there was no light prior to that. How long did that last? We have no idea. We have no idea how long God lasted. We have no idea how long eternity is. Excuse me, there's no such thing as time in eternity. God was complete, full, needed nothing. But God had another idea. An idea that included a creation that was to be his opus. That's us. I want you to think about all the things that you've done in your life. All the good things. We like to think about them, don't we? And all the not so good things. You were created as God's opus, as his grandeur of all creation. How do you feel about yourself? We see God already understood darkness because, remember, there was no such thing as light. All there was darkness. But God said, I need to be able to make a difference so that my creation will, number one, be able to live, but number two, be able to understand. So God created something very special. He created light out of nothing. And that light cast out darkness. And there was a separation of light and dark. Now that separation was both physical and real and spiritual and real. You know, I think it's funny because we think of the physical as being real and the spiritual as being woo. Please let us remember that God is spirit. The spirit created all these things. Everything that we know came out of the spiritual world. So therefore, the spiritual light that illuminates our hearts, which we're going to get to here in a little while, is far more important and far more powerful than the light of the sun or the moon or the stars. Because I want you to understand something. The light that we're talking about here, this first light, has nothing to do with sun and moon and stars. It's the light of God. It's the Shekinah glory of God. It is pure, unadulterated, spiritual, and it shines into the physical. Do you catch it? The first thing God did was create spiritual light, his glory, for everyone to see, for everything to see, and for all of us to come to understand. Because it's in that understanding, as we come to know, when we think of just how important it is, it's the first thing God did. He didn't start with the planets. He didn't start with the people. Why? Because without light, nothing would survive. Everything that God was going to create thereafter relies upon the physical light. And boy, isn't that where we all go? Everything is about our physical being. Everything is about the physical life that we live in. You know, the clothes that we wear, the shoes that we wear, the car that we drive, the house that we have, how many greenbacks are in our wallet. It's all about this physical reality. When the truth of the matter is, nothing could be further from the truth. Because God didn't create the physical light until a few days later when he created the sun and the moon and the stars. And that was created to sustain life as we know it in a physical form. But God had already given us everything we needed to sustain life completely, fully, and wholly in a spiritual form. But yet he knew he was bringing a physical creation, so he needed to create that which also sustained the physical. We need to get back to that which is first. We need to get back to that which is primary. And Satan has lied to us, and we have believed the lie. Our world thinks it's all about this physical world, and it is not. But we need to see that we need both the physical and the spiritual. Hence, God separated day and night, light and darkness, holy and profane, righteousness and sin, good and evil. Do you see it? Do you understand it? I dare say, no, we don't. Because if we did, we wouldn't sin. Amen. We're coming to an understanding, though, aren't we? We're getting there. And that's the race. And that's where we need to be, is in the race. So God created, and it was a perfect world. Amen. We know that when God created, because at the end of day seven, God said it was not only good, he said that it was. You didn't say that loud enough. He said, not only said that it was good, he said that it was. Those people on the internet cannot hear you. I got two ladies up front here that are my cheerleaders. God not only said that it was good, he said that it was. Now I think they heard you on the internet. You got to remember, this is the only microphone that picks up out there. So you got to say it loud enough for this thing to pick it up. It was very good. So what happened? Us. That's what happened. Us. Something happened. And mankind became blind to the spiritual light of righteousness, goodness. And all we saw anymore was the physical light. And society and culture moved away from the spiritual life, sustaining light of God. All because of what could be seen, because of what was there in front of us. Because spiritual light has to be discerned. Spiritual light is from the heart. It is from the soul, because our soul reaches out to it. It amazes me. Adam and Eve had everything they needed. Everything they needed. They were complete. They were whole. They had a relationship with God. They were in commune with God. There was nothing lacking. But Satan made them think that there was, through physical light, through the eyes of the believer, the physical eyes of the believer. And life changed. And it changed dramatically. And we call it the fall of man. That's in Genesis chapter 3. We're not going to go there. And when that darkness overfell us, that we could no longer see the spiritual light, that we were no longer one with God, God cast us all out and forsook everyone. Amen? No, don't say amen to that. That's not what happened. Because that's not our God. He cast us out of the Garden of Eden, but God made the very first sacrifice because sin had entered in. And once again, their eyes were open that they could see what God had done for them. And they were ashamed. You see, when we come face to face with just physical light in the face of holiness and true spiritual light, we understand what sin is. And we become ashamed and we become guilty. And we run away to hide in darkness because we don't want that spiritual light to shine on us. Because if it does, it exposes us for what we really are. But God loves us so much, He just shined the light all the brighter, all the harder, as much as He could throughout time. So God began the plan of our salvation, placing, as it were, a candle of hope and the Heavenly Father's love, calling His children to come home. What did that candle look like? We all know who the hope is. The hope is Jesus Christ. But where did God place it? Do you realize He placed it all the way back at the beginning? He placed it all the way back at the fall when He spoke to the children there, when He spoke to Adam and Eve, and He spoke to the serpent, and He said to the serpent, and I'm going to read this to make sure I quote it properly. And He says to the serpent, "And between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed, he shall bruise you on the head and you shall bruise him on the heel." That's God talking about the coming of His Son. We're talking about coming in grace, okay? Satan was going to be put down. Jesus was going to be raised up. We aren't talking here. God didn't speak here of the second coming. God didn't speak, because that's a finality. There's going to be no bruising. There's going to be destruction in that one. But He was speaking of the coming of a grace. We need to understand that. God was speaking of the coming of a grace. And then we read Moses, and he speaks of one who is yet to come, who is going to be able to baptize with fire. And then we look at the other prophets, and they all speak of this one who is to come. And this one who is to come was that light that these people from the Old Testament needed to believe in. They hung their faith on the Messiah who was to come, who would finally set them free, who would set things right again, who would bring back the image of God to the people of God. And Isaiah chapter 9 in verse 2 sums up that which is thought by these peoples, the thought that they held to. And what does Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2 say? I got to turn there. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2 says this, and we all know this. We read this almost every year at Christmas time. He says, "And the people who walked in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them." God here is talking about a light that's going to come, a light that is going to illuminate the way. God knows that the spiritual light of heaven is the only thing that can set us free. And that light is truly the light of His love. That is the Shekinah glory of God. Yes, there's judgment in God, but we need to remember something. God is love. And I'm not talking love the way the world speaks. Come back next week, and I'll be talking about that. Because next week, we're going to look at the only thing you can take with you when you die. And I'll guarantee you, you can't put it in your pocket. But there is something you get to take with you. Now I got you all thinking, what can we take with us and we can't put it in our pocket? But God wanted us to understand. He wanted us to know. So He says, there's going to be a light. A light is going to come. And when that light comes, it will be a pathway for all the nations, for all the peoples. And it so amazes me, because here we're speaking to the Israeli people, we're speaking to the Hebrew people. And they followed Torah. That's the Bible in Hebrew. They followed Torah. They read Torah. They were searching Torah. No, they didn't. Not any more than people who have a Holy Bible on their coffee table. You know those big jobbies? You know, the ones that you pick up to smash those bugs and what have you that nobody wants to touch. You know those big books? Yeah, they're the ones that I like to go in and run my finger across because there's generally a quarter inch of dust on them. Am I being real? You all know I'm being real. We all got one of them, don't we? Yeah, it used to be my great-great-great-great-grandma's. We passed them down through the generations. But God says, I'm going to make a real light. I'm going to hang a light that you're going to be able to see. And it so amazed me. You'd think that the Israeli people, you'd think that the Hebrew people would be looking for this thing, wouldn't you? Were they? Some of them were. We know of two. There were two at the temple, Simeon and Anna. They were at the temple waiting for that day. They weren't looking at the stars. They were waiting at the temple because they knew they'd see the light when it came, and they did. But what did happen? Because you see, that light that was promised was the light of the Messiah. And when the time came, God did reveal his Christ. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew in chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. Verses 2. And then we're going to jump down to 9 and 10 because I want to deal with this light. The Magi came. Why did the Magi come? The wise men, these astrologers, these magicians, these aristocracy of other nations came. Why did they come? What brought them? This is what the word says. Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. So here these foreigners are in the land where the Messiah is to be born. Here's this light out there in outer space, up there in the heavens. These people who have been prophesied, who have been holding out, waiting for this Messiah to come, talking about this Messiah for generation upon generation upon generation upon generation. What have they been doing? They've been living in the physical light. That's it. Talking about in their studies and in their queries about this light that's going to come, but never seeing it. And these wise men, these foreigners, they see a light and they come. And they say, where is he? And what's Herod say? I don't know. That's literally what he says. So they look for where this Messiah is supposed to come. They've had the prophecies all along. And all of a sudden they say, well, he's supposed to be there in Bethlehem. So the wise men go back outside and they say, okay, let's go to Bethlehem. And behold, verses 9 and 10. And after hearing the king, they went their way, and the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Brothers and sisters, what just happened? The star was up there, and it led them to Israel. They go to the people of Israel, the people who are supposed to be the people of the spiritual light, because they're God's chosen people. And what did they show that they knew? They show that they knew not the light of God. All they knew was the physical light that was around them. They couldn't even see that physical light in the sky. Please remember, Jesus was about 2 years old at this time. How long was that star in the sky? 2 years, and they didn't see it. You know, it amazes me because scientists have been trying to figure this thing out. Well, you know, it may have been a supernova. Supernova doesn't last 2 years. Okay? And number one, for a supernova to have happened that close to us, there would be proof of it yet in our Earth through the radioactive entrappings from something so Arrhenius, okay? Something so volatile. To be that close, to see it in such a manner that it's shown both day and night? So what was it? Well, what does verse 9 and 10 say? This thing which was up there, when they got done talking with Herod and went outside, now where was it? It wasn't up there no more. It was down here, and it was leading them to the place of the Christ. Why didn't anybody else see it? Because their eyes weren't open. God sent his invitation to very specific people for a very specific purpose. I got to watch these boards. He sends his invitation even today to very specific people for a very specific purpose. You're here because you have seen the light of God in your life. You have seen that spiritual light which has drawn you to this place. You know, some of you right now may be thinking to yourself, well, I don't know so much about that. I do. You're not here by accident. You're not here by chance. You are here by appointment. And that appointment is holy. That appointment is through the power of the Holy Spirit, putting you in the seat where you are right now. Because the light of Christ has shone in your life. It's not a light that you see with your eyes. It's a light that can only be seen and known in your heart from the Spirit. And as that light shone, these wise men followed that light until it stood over the place in Bethlehem, confirming to them that, yes, this is the place. Scripture has said it. We are here. There he is. And they rejoiced greatly. They worshiped him, is what that means. They were the first Gentiles to worship the Christ. Do you understand that is a pre-shadow of what was going to come? Jesus came. Who were the first people to show up at the stable? The shepherds, folks. They were there that night. That's Israel. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. 2 years later, the Gentiles come. Do you see what God is doing here? He is showing us the progression of how that spiritual light is going to pour out into the life of the world. On the cusps of his son's coming, he is showing us how it's going to work and where it's going to go. First to the Jew and then to the Gentile, because the Jews would ultimately reject him. After that first day, how many people came to worship the Christ? As far as we know, none. Who are the next people to come? And what do? They not only come, but they bring treasures. They bring gifts. And they fall down on their faces and they worship him. Do you understand what that means about you? About us? Why are we here? We are here to bring those things that God has given us to him, to be used by him. What did Jesus do with those things, with that frankincense and myrrh and gold? Does anybody know? What did they do with them? I like that. Yep, I have no idea. I'll tell you what they did with them. They went to Egypt. How do you think they lived in Egypt? They needed finances for their travel. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Number one, those three things have a significance in the spiritual world. Let us see the spiritual light of them. Gold, for the coronation of a king. Frankincense. Perfume. Okay? Perfume. Incense, to be offered up for a deity. Myrrh, the anointment of death. All three of those things speak of the life of Christ. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is God Himself, incarnate, right there in our midst today, now. And He was anointed unto death to die once, that we would know salvation through His sacrifice. The full light of God, the full plan of salvation, the full revelation right there for each and every one of us to see if we will have eyes to see. Why do you think we use lights at Christmas time? Why is light so important? When you walk out there, how many of you drive around town just to look at the Christmas lights? Of course, today we've got all these blow-up things now. You know, there's a couple of yards out there. I think if they put one more on, they could lift the property into orbit. It's just so amazing. But even those blow-up things are full of what? Light. There's light bulbs in them. Because it's that light that draws us like a moth to a flame, right? Okay? And it's so, and to me, this is the oxymoron. If a moth goes to one of those blue lights that you hang outside your house, what happens to it? Yank, and it's dead, right? When we come to the light of Jesus Christ, yank, death is dead. Sin is dead. And we finally find life. And that life is the light of men. It is the light of life from God Himself. And when we walk into that light, oh, turn to John 1 and 1. Turn to John 1 and 1, brothers and sisters. Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my God, my God. John 1 and 1. I'm so excited right now, I just can't flip pages. John 1 and 1 through 5. Read it with me. I don't ask you to do this often, but if you got your Bible or your cell phone there with your stuff on, read it with me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Praise be the Lord. But we in Christ Jesus have comprehended it. We know it is life. The wise men comprehended it from far away, and they traveled years to get there. How many years did it take you to get here? You're here for a reason. And that reason has nothing to do with this idiot. It has everything to do with a Savior who has loved you and brought you into a church that preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ and nothing else. Because there is no way to salvation save through the one man who died on a cross, the Son of God who came down out of heaven to pay the price of our debts on the cross of Calvary. Can I get an amen? When you and I understand that light, which is the life of all mankind, hung on a cross and was extinguished. Did you ever notice what we do with the candles up front here? This is something I don't know if many of you even understand this. We have the children. Today was little Alex's first time doing Acolyte. I'm so proud of these little ones that are coming up. Poor Dee Dee, you know, she's getting bumped out. But that's okay, Dee Dee. You're passing it on, right, to the next generations. And we thank you. And we know you're going to do it as well. But it was so neat to see him because he came up here and he brought the fire of Christ in, okay, the light of Christ in, and he lit the first candle. What's the first candle? That's the humanity of God. And then he lit the second candle. What's the second candle? It's called the divinity candle. It's the divinity of God. Now I want you to see something, because that light represents divinity. That light came in, lit here, okay? It was still on the stick, right? Then it went over and lit the divinity candle, and then he put it out. But the divinity light never goes out. Because when Alex comes back in, what he's going to do is he's going to come in with that candlestick, and he's going to take off of the divinity candle. Then he'll extinguish the divinity because that light, that flame is still lit. The only candle that ever gets extinguished fully is this one. It represents the human life of Jesus Christ because he died. His divinity never died. But his human body did. His human body died for you and I. What kept him alive was not the physical light that everybody uses as the power to be. It was the spiritual light from within him. And that is the light that created you and I and has given us life. This Christmas season, I pray that you see light differently. This Christmas season, I pray that you understand that there is a light that shines in you that far outweighs the sun, but it never outweighs the Son of God, because it is the Son of God in you. Life himself in you to change you, to give you eyes to see and a hope that will never fade. This Christmas, may the light of Christ shine upon you now and forever. Will you pray with me? Father God, we love you and we thank you for your word. We thank you for this day. Because as we come to your word, as we come to your light, our eyes are open once again to the full light of God, and our lives, like a magnifying lens, are to intensify that light back out into this world so that others may come to know you and receive the light of life, the spiritual light of Jesus, who is the Christ, our Lord and Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA, 17083.